All right, let's go to Chicago, Wrigley Field. Bring in one of our favorites. He's a Bay Area guy. He's a longtime play-by-play voice on the radio WGN of the Chicago Cubs, and that is Pat Hughes. Pat, good morning.
Marty, good morning. I wish I could say it's a beautiful day here in Chicago for Game 3 of the four-game series, but it's cloudy, it's cold, the temperature is in the mid-40s, and I don't think we're going to reach 50 today, but it should be dry enough to get the game in.
Well, that was going to be my first question. Believe me, whenever we talk about Wrigley Field, it's like Candlestick, you know that. In some ways, the wind does have a factor. And I said, well, and when I opened the show today, I said, if it's blowing in, with these two pitchers, you may have a real pitcher's duel today. So how's the wind looking?
I'm not yet at the ballpark,
okay.
So I don't know yet. But the wind had a huge factor and effect yesterday, Marty. And in fairness to Sergio Romo, and I know it's frustrating for fans and ball clubs when their closer lets a save slip away. When that wind is blowing out at Wrigley, as it was yesterday, this is one of the toughest ballparks for a closer to nail down a save. It is so easy to get a run. The ball just sails. In fact, I was thinking of the three Cubs home runs yesterday by DeJesus, Castro, and then Navarro in the ninth. I don't think any of the three, Marty, would have even reached the warning track in most big league parks.
Wow, really? All right. You know, what I wanted to ask you is I was coming over this morning from the Handlery. I said, let me ask Pat about the last couple of plays because Pagan, ball falls in front of him, and then he doesn't go to the wall in the last one. I just want to get your bird's eye view of that, because Willie Mays always told me, he says, look, I don't run into walls. He says, I don't get hurt. I will not run into walls. And Pagan kind of said that afterwards. What did you see in those two plays?
Well, you have to remember, it is a brick wall. There's no give. People think maybe because of the nice, soft-looking green ivy that grows in the summertime that there's a cushion there. There's no cushion, Marty, at all. And right now, there's no blossom on the vine. So it's just a brick wall behind the brown vine. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. The first play, I thought Pagan could have caught the line drive hit by DeJesus. I was surprised that they gave him a base hit. I thought that easily could have been charged an error. He seemed to misjudge it slightly. He slid. I don't even know, to be honest with you, if a slide was necessary on that play. Now, the game winner hit by Castro over Pagan's head off the wall. A couple of thoughts come to mind there. Keith Moreland, my broadcast partner on WGN Radio, commented right before the hit, he was surprised that Pagan was not playing deeper to begin with. You want to be in a spot where you don't want a ball hit over your heads. You'll be happy to let a ball fall in front of you, but that means the winning run will not be able to score. So they call it the no doubles alignment, as I'm sure you know. You got to play deeper. You don't want a ball hit over your head. And when Pagan went back, I was kind of expecting him to make a leaping try, but again, because he was playing so shallow, he was running almost at full speed, and again, he didn't want to crash into that brick wall and kill himself. You can't blame him for that. But he really didn't have a chance to make the play because he was positioned too shallow to begin with.
Well, the great analysis there, Pat. That's the first thing I thought of yesterday, and we talked about it. I was at the Vogue Theater last night for the opening of 42, which is a wonderful movie. But the first thing we talked about, I said, no doubles. You know, and the winning run is on base. You don't let anything get past you in the gap or over your head. So your analysis, it was exactly correct.
Yeah, he was just a little too shallow. And again, what made that particularly surprising, Marty, is the fact that the wind was blowing out. The ball is going to carry more. If anything, you'd actually play a little deeper than you normally might.
Well, all right. Today we have a good matchup, Pat. We've seen Bumgarner, of course, in his first couple of starts after the Kershaw shutout. He came back and just dominated the Dodgers in his next start. And for Jeff Samardzija, and I looked up his stats lifetime, he is a heck of a strikeout pitcher. It's tough to hit off him. His batting average against lifetime has been terrific, and he's had two decent starts to start the season.
Well, you mentioned that his strikeouts are always pretty impressive. Last Sunday in Atlanta, he struck out 13, Marty, in I believe 5 2/3. He struck out six straight Braves during one juncture. He's had two good starts, one win at PNC against the Pirates, and then he did lose the game against Atlanta. But he pitched well. He's a hard thrower. He has a good breaking ball, and he has a good splitter, a split-fingered fastball that he gets for a lot of his strikeouts. Madison Bumgarner, I was thinking of Madison earlier today doing a little preparation for the broadcast, thinking what a luxury that is to have such a strong starting staff. One of the things that I've never been able to really figure out, Marty, is the exact carryover effect from one day to another in baseball. You'd think losing an agonizing game might carry over, and sometimes it does. But if you have a dominant starting pitcher going that next day, you can forget all about that carryover, because Bumgarner is very capable of pitching 8 shutout innings and getting the Giants right back on the winning track.
Well, he did it after the Kershaw game, and they need him again today. Just to follow up on Samardzija a little bit more, and I'll talk about it more during the show. 13 and two-thirds innings, Pat. 6 hits, 4 runs, no homers, 5 walks, 22 strikeouts in 13 and two-thirds.
It's a good ratio, isn't it, Mark?
Not bad. And that's no, Dick Raddatz, you know.
And I'm sure sports fans recognize the name. Jeff Samardzija used to play wide receiver for Notre Dame, set all kinds of records with receptions and yards and touchdown catches for the Fighting Irish. He's a competitor, Marty. He's come a long way in a short amount of time. A year ago, right now, he was just trying to establish himself as a starting pitcher. He was a bullpen guy when he came up in 2008. For the first 4 or 5 years, he struggled off and on with his control. But now he's got his control, and he's the ace of the staff. He was the opening day starting pitcher for the Cubs, and I'm hoping, as Cub fans are everywhere, that he continues to improve, because if he does, he's really something special.
Yeah, very interesting. Pat Hughes with us, of course. You know the voice, fans, play-by-play, voice of the Cubs on WGN. Just following up Samardzija for a second, we did see him last year in San Francisco, and what I remember about him, and I say this somewhat complimentary, he looked like a two-pitch pitcher, like he needed one more pitch to dominate, because eventually you get to him. No? Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that goes back to when he was a reliever.
Yeah.
Most relievers can get away with two pitches, but starters, Marty, they have to face batters more than once. They have to face them 2, 3, maybe even 4 times in a ball game, and you really do need a third pitch. And generally, that third pitch is something off speed,
right?
Either a changeup or a splitter or something that's going to fool the batter off speed. But he has developed that, and it's made a world of difference.
All right, that'll be the difference. Well, this would be a good matchup. Pat, as we were talking about Pagan, it came to mind, it just crossed my mind because I saw the movie of 42 last night over the old Brooklyn Dodgers, Pete Reiser. And Pete Reiser was the next Mickey Mantle, or the first Mickey Mantle, before Mickey Mantle. He ran into walls, and Wrigley was one of them, and that basically ended his career with fractured skulls.
Reiser, I've read about him, Marty. He not only ran into walls, he actually knocked himself out more than once.
Yeah.
I think he suffered a broken leg, but he had multiple concussions from running into outfield walls. And there's that fine line. You want your ball players to be aggressive. You want them to do anything they can to help your team win a game. But at the same time, if he knocks himself out and is unable to play for 2 or 3 months, that hurts the team. So that's always a fine line, I think.
Pat, you've gotten a lot of calls on our post-game show, and all complimentary about your baseball voices, the Hall of Fame baseball voices, that you did for Lon Simmons and Russ Hodges this particular winter. I know you've gotten, and one fellow called in last week and said, I called the number, and Pat Hughes called me back in about 5 or 10 minutes. It really impressed him, and I know the fans here are thrilled. Baseballvoices.com. And I just want you to talk about just a little bit that Russ Hodges, Lon Simmons CD audio that is just absolutely out of this world. If you're a Giants fan, you have to have it.
Marty, that's very kind of you, and I'm pleased that you like it. I was thrilled when I got a call from Lon Simmons himself. I sent him the first copy back in November, and he loved it. In fact, he endorsed the front cover of the CD. He said, this is a marvelous tribute to Russ Hodges and me. Giants fans will love it. And then I was even more thrilled beyond a couple of days ago when John Miller said that he thought it was a great CD. So I figure if you, Lon, and John, three men that I greatly respect in broadcasting. If you all like it, I feel like I must have done something right. But you know what I hear, Marty, and it's very gratifying? I hear several things. People, they love to hear highlights of their favorite team, the San Francisco Giants. They love to hear the exploits of some of their favorite players, Mays, McCovey, Cepeda, Davenport, Marichal, Perry. They love to hear those. But they get to hear great broadcasters, Lon Simmons and Russ Hodges, both Hall of Famers, two of the all-time best. And the last thing I hear, which is maybe the coolest thing of all, it reminds the fans of themselves at a particular time in their life. I hear people say, when I hear Russ Hodges call Willie Mays' 3,000th hit in 1970, immediately it takes me back to when I was playing Little League in the neighborhood with all my buddies. Or when somebody hears Lon Simmons call a Mike Ivey Grand Slam in 1978, they say, you know what? I went to that game. I took my girlfriend to that game. And now we are married and we have three kids and we've been married for 25 years. So it reminds fans of themselves, and I think that might be the coolest thing of all.
Yeah, it's just terrific. And fans, if you haven't heard it, baseballvoices.com. You can order it, and Pat has also done these CDs on other Hall of Fame voices, which are absolutely terrific. So always a pleasure to have you on, and this is a big addition to the winter of the San Francisco Giants, having this CD come out. We've got the World Series, and now we can hear Lon and Russ and the exploits. By the way, Willie Mays enjoyed it. I gave one to him, and he enjoyed hearing it too.
Well, there are a lot of highlights of Willie Mays in there.
Yes.
His fourth homer at County Stadium and in 1961, that game against the Braves, and the 3,000th hit, his 600th homer called by Lon against a guy named Mike Corkins in San Diego. Lots of great highlights, but it's baseballvoices.com. And, Marty, all the people I talk to in the Bay Area, they love your show. Your knowledge of baseball and Giants baseball is superb, and I just thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and enjoy the game today. And if anything crazy happens, we'll call you tomorrow.
I'm here, Marty. Thank you.
All right, Pat Hughes. Thanks, Pat. He's the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs, WGN. Who knows what's going to happen today? You know, every day is a different day in baseball. As they say, it's a blank piece of paper, but we will fill it in today, and we'll talk about it later on.